Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm your host, Tim Healy. And this show is dedicated to the makers and shakers of business today. So that's why I'm inviting all sales professionals, vice presidents and presidents, owners and entrepreneurs to join me each and every week as we tackle all topics from sales and marketing to entrepreneurship and beyond right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Now, come on, you all know how important it is for you to tune in each and every week. I don't want you to miss any of my greatest proven money-making sales strategies, as well as my interviews with the best authors, experts, and entrepreneurs in business. So get on board the Profit Express, people, so together we can create big-time profits for your business. And don't forget, you can hear the Profit Express streaming live on the web, anywhere and everywhere, at WRHU.org. And keep those emails coming. I want to hear your comments, your questions, your show ideas. You can send the emails to profitexpress@wrhu.org. Again, profitexpress@wrhu.org. Now, as you know, the Profit Express is dedicated to helping entrepreneurs everywhere by providing the latest and greatest strategies as well as inspiration needed on the journey to creating big-time success. And the success of entrepreneurs is more important now than ever before, especially since we all know it is the small business owner who is the driving force of our economy. And that's why I'm so excited about today's show. My guest offers all entrepreneurs amazing insight and inspiration from his firsthand experience at creating tremendous success, not only in the world of sports, but also as a hugely successful entrepreneur as well. Now, today's guest is a living legend, folks. That's right. He has won an Olympic gold medal. Then he went on to win the heavyweight boxing championship title of the world, not once, but twice. The success he would then go on to create as an entrepreneur is on a scale so big, many of us can find it hard to imagine. My guest tonight on the Profit Express, I'm very excited to say, is none other than George Foreman. That's right. So if you are on your road to creating entrepreneurial success, then you're not going to want to go anywhere. Stay tuned right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. Now, after hearing my conversation with George today, I know that you will believe in your heart and in your mind that you are truly capable of achieving success, probably on a scale bigger than you ever thought possible. I'm going to be having George on in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. Now, where do I begin? Well, oddly enough, I'm going to start with his first defeat as a boxer, when he lost to Muhammad Ali in Zaire and what has become known as the Rumble in the Jungle. The defeat helped shape George in so many ways. Now, why is that important? Well, as entrepreneurs, it's critical for us to understand how our own defeats can be a positive asset for going forward. Then after his second loss to Jimmy Young, George had a religious experience. He gave up boxing and became a born-again Christian. A whole decade later, it was time for a comeback. George needed to raise money for his youth center, the George Foreman Youth and Community Center. The world was going to see a whole new George. He was able to completely reinvent himself. So he re-entered the ring in 1987. And despite his tremendously successful past, George didn't stage a comeback like so many others who did in the past and failed. As he discussed in his book, Knockout Entrepreneur, all of the former champs who tried to make a comeback tried to return to the top too quickly and lost. George started at the bottom and worked his way back up. George put his ego aside. Now, of course, the media was having fun at George's expense, saying, oh, he's too old, he's too out of shape to mount a comeback. But thankfully, George did not pay attention. In 1994, at the age of 44, he won the heavyweight championship title for a second time, beating Michael Moore to become the oldest fighter to ever win the crown. Now, it was the new George Foreman and his new personality that also caught the attention of Madison Avenue while he was on his comeback. And the endorsements started one after the other, from Kentucky Fried Chicken to Oscar Mayer to Meineke Car Care to Casual Male Big and Tall. However, the real big success was from a deal that George initially said no to. It was his wife who happened to try this little-known electric grill, and she said she loved it. Fortunately for George, he listened. Otherwise, he would have walked away from what could be more than $100 million. And what we all know now is the George Foreman lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine. Now, George's journey has amazing examples of great successes and some rather significant failures as well. But the real message was his ability to reinvent himself, his ability to put his ego aside and to enter into deals with great integrity no matter what. His is a message with perfect timing for the Profit Express because so many of us are facing our own challenges each and every day and our own journeys to creating success. So it's a great pleasure that I welcome aboard the Profit Express, George Foreman. George, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Well, you know what? You've got a great message, and the timing is perfect. People out there, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, it hasn't been easy, and I know that you can provide not only great ideas but great inspiration. So are you ready to jump on board the Profit Express?
I'm ready when you are.
Okay. Now, George, you ended your career with an amazing 76-5 record. However, it was your first two losses to Muhammad Ali and then to Jimmy Young that had a real tremendous impact on you. How did these fights actually prepare you for success later in life?
Boy, the loss to Muhammad Ali was devastating. I was heavyweight champ of the world, didn't know anything about losing. All I knew was about winning. Everyone in my corner, that's all they knew was about winning. And so I had to get back and really kind of motivate myself with anger to win the title back and get some revenge. And, of course, that means working back to number one position, a contender to get a title shot. That was one way. Of course, the second time I lost was to Jimmy Young, and that's when I thought I was probably at the top of my game to beat Muhammad Ali and regain the title. And, of course, I go into another career, a preacher by all means. Can you believe that? I'm trying to scuffle to be champion of the world and popular, and there I'm in a dressing room after a box experiencing death and calling and screaming, Jesus Christ is coming alive in me. Embarrassed me, embarrassed everybody in the dressing room. I went home to kind of hide for a while. The next thing you know, I'm a full-time evangelist with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did it for 10 years, never intending to box again. I didn't make a fist for 10 years. Didn't even shadow box. Something profound happened. I got broke.
The need for money kept calling, huh?
And it's a shame. You know, you get to be a middle-aged man. You're moving into being a senior citizen, and you're broke. And that's nothing nice. Probably the scariest I've ever been in my life, and I'd been up against Joe Frazier, who I was definitely afraid of. My knees shaking, scared to look him in the face, good. And you'd think that's fear, but hey, you get to be middle-aged and you don't have any money, and you've had money, and you don't know what to do, and the only profession you got is that of a boxer. Those days I dreamed of being a golfer, but I never could get it straight.
I mean, think about it. You had the two defeats, the first two to Ali and then to Young. And, I mean, they didn't just kind of re-energize you to become a better boxer. I mean, they literally changed your life in so many ways that you probably couldn't even have imagined.
Yeah, you know, I lose to Muhammad Ali. I'm going to Africa. And everybody looked at me and dropped their heads. They were afraid of me. People respect. They had a lot of respect, but really a lot of fear. But after that fight was over, I've lost the same hands that were running away with patting me on the back with pity. You'll get another chance, George. From respect and fear to pity, devastating. Then the second time, of course, the fight with Young, where people said, oh, he's back, he's tough again, and now all of a sudden he's looking for an excuse for a loss. He's screaming, he's religious now. So I know what the faces of failures are.
And you've certainly done very well in taking them and turning them into a positive to head you in the right direction. Now, in your book, Knockout Entrepreneur, you said, and I quote, most men and women are not working anywhere near their potential. They've settled for far less than what they can do, what they can have, and most importantly, who they can be. Why do you think that is, George?
Oh, so you get up in the morning And I tell my kids this all the time. You got to jump out of that bed. If you decide to put your feet on the floor at all, you got to run 100%. If you decide the day that you jump out of the bed and decide I'm just going to run 25%, the world is going to pass you by. And what I was able to become champion of the world the second time around because I looked in the mirror and decided that I didn't want to come back to be just to make a dollar. I wanted to be heavyweight champ of the world. But a lot of people convincing me that hey, you can make a couple dollars now going to business here and going to business there, but no one told me about being the best there is. And that's what I'm after. Everybody's got to is capable of being the best whatever they want to do when they get out of their bed. Just don't be scared. Don't be frightened. And that fear that you do have, embrace it. So that'll even make you better.
Well, you know what? Those are great words, and I just hope everybody out there is listening and can embrace those words, because too many people live in fear. Too many people, when their feet hit the floor in the morning, they go at 25 or 50%.
And all it takes is just deciding, don't look at, there are a lot of things, there are so many people telling me, hurry up, George, you better get a title shot before you are 40. As if they had written what 40 was going to be for me. 40,
right.
You write, I had to decide what 40 was going to be to me because I had never been there before. When I had that 40th birthday, by the 41st, I was fighting for the championship of the world. And the guy who was young enough to be my son was running from me. But people told me it's a frightening thing to become 40. And I wanted to make certain that everyone knew that it's not a death sentence to become 45, 55, no, even 65. If you truly want something,
well,
you can keep dreaming.
That's encouraging because I turned 40 about 3 weeks ago, so I know I've got a heck of a lot more to live for, and I just keep listening to your message. It'll keep me going. Now,
give me 40 again. I'll show you what to do with it.
I would love that. Would be a great experiment. I would love that. Now, you've obviously been in lots of different business deals and had lots of different opportunities. How important is it to look past an opportunity and what its immediate potential is and really dig deep into what you think the real potential is there waiting for you?
And most everybody is afraid of the bottom, number one. You start from the bottom, all you can do is just keep making one step upward, upward, upward. There's nothing but the top to look forward to. And that's what I found out with businesses. Don't ever think, hey, I got a top business and I can't do anything small. It's the small foxes that get the real sweet grapes by having great intentions, but don't start high, start at the bottom and work your way up. Know everything there is to know about whatever you're attempting to do, and you can climb the ladder at any time and be the best there is and maybe the wealthiest there is.
But you know what was amazing about your comeback? You'd had tremendous success, obviously, in your first go-round of boxing. So you come back in 1987, and what you did, and I found that so amazing, I spoke about it in my intro, you didn't start at the top. You started at the bottom and worked your way up, and you weren't afraid to do it.
I've noticed that the great Joe Louis, even Muhammad Ali, a lot of these guys would make a comeback, and I'd read everything before I made my attempt. And they all started from the top. They wanted to be who they were when they left the sport. And I said, you can't do that. There's nothing wrong with being at the bottom for a change. If you can do it once, that's proof that you can do it again. So I came back and started small. I wasn't going to fight anybody who I knew could beat me. I wanted to fight someone I figured that I'd have an equal opportunity against.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or even better. They said, George, you're only fighting guys that they're on a respirator. I said, no, they have to be 8 days off the respirator. But in reality, when you get into a ring with a guy 15 years younger than you, you out there in hope like everyone else. And I built myself up for 3 years or more before I got my title shot. I didn't look at myself. They said, you're old, you're out of shape, you're fat. But I looked in the mirror and I said, yep, that's true, but what are you going to do about it? I started from the bottom, and anyone can start. There's nothing wrong in America with being at the bottom. You can always go up. And I worked myself up just like a young contender. They said I was old, but I didn't see that. I didn't feel that. So I worked like a young man without desperation.
And that's really amazing because you put your ego aside, which I think a lot of us have a hard time doing. And you don't
that's
let your
it. Yeah. No better said. Put the ego aside.
And folks, you're listening to The Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. And today we truly have a special guest. He's living legend George Foreman. Needs no introduction, obviously. And I just thought the timing was perfect because, you know what, there's a lot of us out there, entrepreneurs and business owners and sales pros out there each and every day on our own path to success and greatness. And it's not easy and it's challenging. So I knew that the words and the message of George Foreman was what we all need to hear. So again, George, thanks so much for being on today.
Thank you.
Now, your grill, everybody knows you for your grill, obviously. Your grill has sold more than 100 million units.
That's right, over 110 million. Can you believe that?
110 million.
Uh-huh.
Now, it got off to somewhat of a shaky start. What did it take from you to get that grill going in the beginning?
But I'd been so comfortable. With Madison Avenue, being embraced by Madison Avenue, I'd gotten big money with KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Meineke. All these people were paying me this great amount of money for endorsing their product. But at the bottom line is, when they wanted to, someone else runs a touchdown, they could say, could you do our product? And in the back of my mind, I knew that. One friend asked me, he said, George, you're making all these other companies rich. Why won't you get your own product and do something?
Mm-hmm.
There's no money in it. I said, well, I'm not going to do it. And we argued about that. No money up front, nothing. I was going to have to scuffle like everyone else is trying to do when they do a business. So What the grill did, it would take me. I had a name, of course. I'm out there boxing. I'm on satellite television all the time, probably more than free television than Kentucky itself.
Right.
And so I decided to take a chance, no money up front, but take a joint venture. If it fails, we all fail. But if we are successful, everyone is successful. I had to lie and share because it would be my business.
Sure.
And without any money up front, scuffling, put it into a store, no, we don't want it. It didn't sell this week. Put it into another store, we don't want it. It doesn't sell this week. Come back later on and do an infomercial. Then put it back in the store. One store says, okay, we'll try it a little longer. And the difference is when you're in business, you just got to keep trying. There's no thing about, well, if you don't like me, then I'm out. If you don't like me, can you see me tomorrow? That's what I would try to do. Would you? Maybe you'll like me more tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't know.
I like that expression. You put aside your ego, and the sky is the limit. And you just don't give up. And in boxing, you get hit in the eye. And what happened, you're in the first round with, say, some tough Joe Frazier.
Right.
You get hit in the eye, and you really can't see the guy that well, and you can't let him know that. The bell ring, and you just assume when you turn, you're going into the proper corner, and you sit there and hope your vision come back each round. Well, that's the way it is in business. It's a lot of hope involved, and it's a lot of bluffing involved, but you just can't give up and decide, well, I can't see this round, so I'm just going to throw in the towel, you see.
You're absolutely right. And it was funny when I was telling my family and friends, my business associates and clients that I was having you on the show tonight, everybody's like, wow, that's fantastic. That's great news. I said, hey, you know, I got one of his grills. I love it. They're great. I kid you not, George, it is amazing how many people that I told this to. I basically told everybody who'd listen, of course, because it was great news for the Prophet Express that, you know, you're on, and so many of them said they've got the grill and they love it.
You know, it helps to have a product that works.
It really does.
The worst thing in the world is to go out there and give all the sales techniques in the world, and the product is no good. You must have a product that works. If you want to be a great salesman, start off with a great product.
Well, you've been pretty consistent in the fact that you've chosen not to partner with certain ventures because, you know, whether it's alcohol was a product or, you know, if it didn't fit your image and your beliefs, you chose to walk away.
Yeah, you just can't. You just got to have some integrity about yourself. You stand for something, you're going to have to stand all the way up of the... If it goes against your integrity, you must fall because you can always get up again.
Exactly.
Like a boxing match. You get knocked down, the crowd would scream, "Get up, get up!" If you listen loud enough, you'll hear them. There are a lot of times there were a lot of money available for me for doing certain things, mm-hmm. and I just had to say no because there were a lot of kids who were really not listening to or not even watching my bank account. They were really watching my life.
Of course.
I had to say no to a lot of things.
Yeah, you're a role model to lots and lots of kids out there. Now, I love this story. It was after your very last fight with Shannon Briggs in 1997. You were interviewed just after the fight by the HBO boxing commentator Larry Merchant, of course. And he asked you this question about, you know, how the fight went. And your automatic immediate response was, and I quote, "Have you heard of the George Foreman grill?" Now, was that planned or was that just spontaneous? It came naturally.
There is no plan because I plan on winning that boxing match, number one. And I was going to talk about victory, but then I realized you have this moment, you have this microphone in front of you, all of the world is listening. What are you going to say? I can't come in about losing because I didn't have that intent. I must say something. I must sell something. That's what television is all about, even radio, all media. It's about selling something. Of course, you know, every now and then some important occasion comes up, but as a rule, you must sell. And I thought about, the George Foreman lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine. The guy had not knocked that out of my head.
That much you still had.
Right? I still had that still in the brain. And this is your opportunity. And for every person, you get a microphone in front of you, this is the time to sell. That's all.
Well, you know what it was? It's you can't make that up on the spot, especially after you've just been, you know, in a heavyweight bout. That's who you are. There's no fooling and making that up. That's what you're all about.
That's what you're all about.
Yeah.
I tell even young people, they ask me about selling. I said, well, you got to put in, if you're going to be a good salesperson, you got to do it 20, that 25th hour. You're going to have to do it a day.
Right.
Sometimes I'd be on an airplane, of course, flying abroad, and I'm up front class, and they have the curtains drawn, and I'm stretched back sleeping, and someone comes in from the back of the plane and taps me and reach over, and I look up, I said, what did they say? Can I have your autograph? You can't decide, should I smile? You better smile as soon as they tap you. Hello, how do you do?
Right.
The salesperson must exist in that extra hour, because that one person that you offend is that one that makes it less than 100 million grills.
it's true, because just like you're a boxer, you don't think about it when you're in the ring. That's too late for that. And when you'll get killed if you try to think about fighting in the ring.
You can't think about it then, it's too late.
Right. And, of course, if you're a sales professional, that's who you are and it's what you're doing, and you're spreading that word each and every opportunity you get. So that was a fantastic story. Now, George, do you have a moment? We have to take a quick station
break.
Sure,
I'll be right here.
Fantastic, folks. Folks, you're listening to The Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU, and today's guest is none other than George Foreman, so you obviously aren't going to want to go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Now, back to The Prophet Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Once again, here is your host, Tim Healy.
Hello and welcome back to The Prophet Express. I am your host, Tim Healy, and you're listening to 88.7 FM, WRHU. And of course, you can hear us anywhere on the web at WRHU.org. And I love to keep getting your emails with your comments, your questions, and your show ideas. Send those emails to ProphetExpress@WRHU.org. Again, ProphetExpress@WRHU.org. Now, as sales professionals, as business owners, we're all out there each and every day on our own personal journeys of achieving selling greatness. And you know what? It hasn't been easy. It's never easy to create success, and especially in a down economy, there's even more challenges. And I just knew that the timing for today's guest was perfect. His message is perfect. And it's been a real pleasure. It's been an honor to have on a living legend. And he is Olympic gold medal winning, 2-time heavyweight boxing championship of the world winner, George Foreman. George, it is such a great pleasure to have you on board The Prophet Express today.
Thank you so much.
Now, in your book, Knockout Entrepreneur, you say that for for someone to be a knockout entrepreneur, you have to see it before you can be it. When did you first develop that mentality?
Oh, it's a long time now. There's a little place in Houston, Texas, a little subdivision. Well, I hate to call it a subdivision, but it's called Acres Home.
Mm-hmm.
And right near a house, walking distance, was a dump when I was a little boy. This is, what, 1956?
Okay.
A dump, a garbage dump. And what happened is, occasionally, in the weekend, if you get there early, you get the fresh stuff that falls out of the truck. A sofa that needed just one leg, or a chair that needed two legs, a table that needed one. I had a dream that I was going to be there first and get the best thing that people had thrown away. And you should have seen me marching down the road with these things to put them in. I didn't start dreaming to be heavyweight champ of the world. I was dreaming down that street all alone. I got my chance. I decided whatever I touch, I was going to make it into something special. Could be a hat, broken shoe, mixed max shoes. I was going to get a walk that people would think, boy, your walk's cool, that they wouldn't even look down at my feet.
Now, it kind of goes back to what you said before the break. You're like, hey, if you're going to wake up in the morning and if
That's
your
right.
feet are going to hit the floor, don't go 25%.
Don't go. You got to make everything we do the most special thing. And even in my comeback into boxing, I was overweight, overage. But when I got into that ring, they'd introduce me as, ladies and gentlemen, the former, I said, heavyweight champ of the world. In my mind, I was the heavyweight champ of the world. I didn't wait until I got the title officially. If I waited, I may never have had that, but I had that feeling every time I put on my robe. And ladies and gentlemen, the heavyweight champion of the world. That's the way I felt from the time I made my decision to make a comeback. And that's the way it is in business. If you can just see this is the greatest thing, they're going to buy it, and you feel like that, everybody come in contact with you are going to feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
You believe it. You got to love the product. You got to believe in it. And if you don't love it, you can't sell it. And I always tell my family, you can't sell one perfume and smell like another. People are going to want the one that you smell like.
Right. Now, it's funny because I'm a big believer in perception is reality. And, you know, you were believing you were heavyweight champion of the world before it happened. And I know that that has an impact on your actions and how
yeah,
you
perform. I crowned myself. Somewhere when I decided to work out, I crowned myself. I didn't wait. When the announcer did it, I said, now you're finally saying it, huh?
That's fantastic. Now, you're involved also in the food business is one of the things that you're currently involved in with, I believe it's the You Food Grill. And in your book, you mentioned that you have a number of celebrity friends, and a lot of them have gotten into the restaurant business, but a lot of them have really, really failed. Why do you think that is?
Well, you go into any business, a lot of times, and all of us celebrities are like everyone else. We could use a dollar, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
But we could, and so we'll put our name onto something and not even care too much about it. And that's something you have to avoid doing, because if you don't really like it, no one else is going to like it. They can just look through you. You get on television and you make an endorsement or you do a commercial. People are not stupid. They're like a lion. They can look right through you. If you're not sincere, you're just getting paid a certain amount of money to do a commercial. The point of it is, failure is when you just don't want to get up and try again. You just got to keep trying. Finally, we're just like a knockout puncher. Eventually, you get a knockout.
So do you think maybe some of these celebrities that they might just, you know, like you said, we're all looking for a dollar. We could all use a dollar. Maybe yeah. They're just selling themselves out.
Oh, and it's such a shame to endure something that you really don't like.
Right.
But you know, one fellow told me we all want to be on television. We all want to do a commercial. I'm not going to knock that. Everybody should have their first chance to,
sure.
You know, I'm using toothpaste, and you know you don't even use it. Everybody should, just to be on television. But there come a point when you really want to be a outstanding entrepreneur, you must find something that you love and don't cross that line of doing something that you don't like. Don't sell something that you wouldn't buy.
You bring up a good point because you can't underestimate the consumer. The consumer is sophisticated. They know. Like you said, they see right through you.
Right through you. And no one can outfox the true foxes. Those of us out here who buy, we are the foxes.
Yeah, exactly. Well said.
Who's the one fella that you can fool some of the people, some of the time, some of the time?
Right. No, that's very, very well said. Now, you're a big believer in surrounding yourself with people who are filled with hope. What happens, though? What's the effect if someone is surrounded with too many naysayers, too many negative people?
Oh, they will pull you down. Pull you down right with them. When I always make this terminology, go back into boxing. Someone would come to me and they'd say, George, your jab is too slow. I had to make my mind up that I'm not going to hear that. Thick-skinned as can be.
Mm-hmm.
But another person could come around the corner and say, George, I can help you get your jab faster. You're hired. Automatically. People saying the same thing, but how you say it. If you surround yourself with people too much who are too negative, don't believe, it'll affect you. It's like a disease. It'll take you down.
So you always
you must have friends who believe. And they don't have to believe in their product, but they believe in themselves. Not what you can do, but what they can do for you.
So I mean, in reading the book and knowing about your boxing past, it seems like you're always careful, you know, your corner team. You're always very careful about who you're going to have there. And, of course, a corner team translates into business and to the people that you hire.
When you're in business, you must have people who really are the best fighters. Sometimes, and you meet people who've never been in that particular business that you're in, but they come in and say, man, this is wonderful. All they do every day is see you. Man, I'm so happy. It's wonderful. That's enough right there. And sometimes in your corner, boxing corner, the guy, he can't say a word. He doesn't know anything about boxing, but he's there jumping up and down. You're doing it, George! Especially when your eyes swollen, you can't hear and you can't see. He's screaming, you can do it. We're doing it. And that's enough motivation
to get you over the edge.
Find the proper corner.
Now, one of the things I spoke about in the intro was, you know, you put your ego aside. And another thing that I really helped, you know, propel your comeback was you reinvented yourself. You were brilliant at reinventing yourself. And one of the interesting products that you've developed, and I find it very interesting, you know, given your background and what you do, is actually a line of environmentally friendly cleaning products. It's the Let George Clean It. I love that, by the way. Great title. Why did you decide to go into, you know, the green movement, which obviously is so popular now? What led you there?
Yeah, we built our place in Huffman, Texas. And, of course, it just so happened that we have the septic systems and things around the ranch. And you all of a sudden you sit there and you got your, $1,000 in your pocket and look like you, I'm going to have to fight the gaining weight the rest of my life. And you say, this is not what life is all about. You want to make certain you leave something, stand for something, do something good for the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. The George Foreman knockout cleaning line
mm-hmm.
was to leave something behind. Not just, okay, I made a few dollars here and a few dollars, but to say, oh, he was also, he cared about where he really come from. And that's what an environmentally friendly cleaning products will do. Leave the earth good enough. You leave your kids a lot of money, you know, just like the rest of us, we'll spend it, but leave them a planet. Whew. That's what I'm trying to do. Get some products out there that's going to be safe for this earth.
Well, and it's giving back. I mean, you know, you create...
It's giving back. Right. Thank you. You come up with good ones.
well, thank
put the
you.
Ego back and giving back.
Feel free to use them.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Now, you work closely with your sons, and I believe in particular, George Jr. and George III, they help you a lot with your brand. And all business owners know how important and how valuable our own brands are. So how did the three of you work together at finding ways to grow what has become a huge brand, the George Foreman brand?
And with these boys, it's not so easy because you have some sons who go into business with you. They've seen my tremendous success, this, that, and the other. And a lot of times they've attempted to put their hand into something to help me out, and they haven't seen instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to get discouraged because they're not looking to really make some money. They want to say, look what I did, look what we did, along with the team. And so I have to constantly reassure them that Rome was not built in a day.
Right.
Get something, and they bring in something. This is going to make us a lot of money. I said, no, we don't want a lot of money. We want to do this properly. And so and as the years go by, they start to buy into, you know what, if we do something of quality, it's going to be remembered, and we can make some money as well. So we're teaming up, constantly talking to each other, keeping that communication line going on is the best way to build a team. And I've built that team with these guys.
Well, like you said, when they first start out, they have lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm, maybe going a few different directions. But as you guys work more and more closely together, they understand more of your philosophy and kind of maybe see it through your eyes as well.
Yeah, the philosophy is to make certain that, like the George Foreman Youth and Community Center,
mm-hmm.
want to make certain that we just continue to be a team. Integrity is first. Integrity is first. Everyone can make a dollar. I was telling those kids they're stealing hubcaps off the streets and they can find a place to make a dollar with those.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're interested in. We want to make a difference. And, of course, giving back, as you said earlier, must give back. And so I sold them on that product of giving back now, integrity.
Exactly. Now, humility... It seems to play a big role in who you are. And some people may be surprised, you know, given your success, heavyweight champion of the world 2 times over, Olympic gold medalist, sometimes it can be hard to be humble, you know, having achieved what you've achieved. But why is humility so important for an entrepreneur who is looking to create success?
Oh, I heard Sammy Davis Jr., I met him, I was friends with him, mm-hmm. and he said, George, and I didn't pay much attention in the old days. He said, you got to make them love you. I didn't understand. He said he'd get on the stage, and he'd sing, and everybody would applaud, and there'd be a few people out there who would not. He'd see that, and he'd start tap dancing. Then they start to applaud more, but they still another two wouldn't do anything. He started doing the voices when he'd trick you like he's talking to some other voice.
Like an imitation, or
he'd sound like Cary Grant.
Impersonation. Right.
Then some more would get up. Then he'd see just one person sitting there. He'd go into the band and start playing instruments. Then he had them all standing on this table. He said, "You gotta make them all love you," and that's what being humble is about. When I left boxing, I had 10 years as an evangelist, and I didn't box. I'd gotten to be this great big guy, cutting my hair off, my mustache. Nobody knew me. And sometimes your battery would go down, and you'd sit there and ask someone for a charge, and God give you a free charge on the battery, and you try to pay him. He said, get out of here, big un. And I was so afraid that once I wasn't heavyweight champ of the world that people wouldn't like me. They loved me more. They didn't even recognize me. A steward on an airplane would tell me, hey, Biggin, come up front. I can't give you a meal, but this seat is bigger for you. I said, if I had known people cared that much for me and they didn't care who you were, I would have been better. A second time around, it makes you humble because you got to constantly repay the goodness that you received.
Wow.
And I received a lot of goodness, and I had forgotten about that from the beginning. I'd received a lot of goodness as a little boy. This is a good world, a good country, and you got to stay humble.
Absolutely. Fantastic words. People, you're listening to The Prophet Express on 88.7 FM WRHU, and we're all out there. We're all on our journeys to creating our own personal success, and it's just a great honor, great privilege to have on the living legend George Foreman as he's sharing his message of reinventing himself, of coming back, of being humble and humility, and how that can obviously not only play out in the ring, of course, but play out in business and more importantly in life. So again, George, thank you so much for what's a fantastic conversation so far.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, you know, you spoke about when after the loss to Jimmy Young, you had the near-death experience, you became a born-again Christian. So you're obviously certainly a man of faith. And one thing in your book that really, really caught my attention, I want to talk to you about, is you say to do the unexpected. And then you say that having faith in business is actually counterintuitive. What do you mean by that?
You know, you're going to have to work hard. There's no way of getting around working hard. But there isn't the guys who dig, they spend a lot of money drilling for these holes. Look like we have to spend a lot of money cleaning up for them now, though. But
right.
They spend a lot of money, and basically they are hoping that there's oil there. They have to spend as much money on a dry well as they do one that's going to be productive.
Sure.
And so that's the same as it is with faith. If you just decide, look, I'm going to do my best, I'm going to work hard, but at the same time, I'm going to look above, and there is a hand of God. And if I just continue to be a good human being, do the thing right for my fellow man, God is going to help me too. You just have that in the back of your mind that God is going to help me. And you never lose that. And I got it from the ring. Sometimes I've always known that I wasn't a good boxer. As a matter of fact, not a good boxer at all.
Wait. Say
even
that again.
During the Olympics, I would close my eyes when I thought it was over, and I'd wake up, and the other guy would be on the floor.
Wait, you actually? Wait, I don't want to miss that. You actually didn't think you were a good boxer?
No, not at all. During the Olympics, they didn't like my style because I didn't have the traditional boxing style.
Right.
But I could hit hard, and the rules were, if you win, you could proceed.
Right.
And you go further. And a lot of times I would just start closing my eyes and just wailing. And I'd get into the ring and hope. But then my second time around, of course, I didn't have that same kind of hope that I'd close my eyes. I'd transform myself into having faith that I would go out there and do well for myself, that this was a job, a profession for me, and that God would help me. And with that faith, I was going to be the best human being that I could. And being good, good comes to you. I had faith in that. Continue to be the best human being I could be, and great things were going to happen to me because the hand of God.
Well, I mean, talk about a tremendously powerful and positive guiding force in doing business. You know, it really doesn't get better than that, obviously. Now, it just came to me based on your comment earlier on your boxing skills. Now that you had a huge body of experience in both in the ring and in business, how would you rate yourself, George? Would you call yourself a better boxer or a better businessman?
Oh, better businessman.
Really?
Oh, yes, because I had...
But you're George Foreman. Come on.
I had these 10 years really into boxing. And I left boxing for 10 years and decided if I had really known it was a good business like that, I would have done a better job. So I came back in the second time around, everything built on the George Foreman boxing business. And along with that, it turned into business, period. But I pride myself on the business aspect of life. I mean, I have been a better business person than I was a boxer. I'd always drop my left hand and get caught. They put me in the Boxers Hall of Fame, and I kept wondering, oh, really? Because it was a business for me. A lot of times I'd even get behind on points because I'd go into my corner thinking, how was this going to look for Madison Avenue approach?
Right.
And I was too paused for business in my second time around for boxing.
Now, did you always see yourself as a success, whether it was boxing or business?
I always saw myself I've surrounded myself with people who believed in me in the first time in boxing. Then I got around in business. I just knew that if you just really worked hard, you can't escape success. You can't. If you work hard, even if you try, you can't escape. But you got to give it your all, and you got to believe in yourself. And your whole life has got to be built on the good of the business that you're doing. You can't, even if you tried, you couldn't escape success.
Well put. Great, great words. Now, for all the boxing fans out there, I'd love to know what was the one fight in your career, you had 81 fights overall, that had the biggest impact and why?
Wow. Okay, I just lost the title to Muhammad Ali. I think I've taken a year off. I decided I had excuses. The ropes were loose. They put something in my water. I had so many excuses. Second time, I'm making my comeback. I'm fighting Ron Lyle from Denver, Colorado.
Right, right.
You know, he stood up to me. This man hit me so hard, it didn't even hurt. I just found myself like a rag on the floor. I get up, he did it again. I said, you know, I don't have any excuses. What can I tell them now? The ropes are tight. No one has had any water. I don't have any excuses. I said, you know what? I am not going to give up. I'm going to get the only way they carry me out of the ring is on a stretcher. And so this guy actually saw me kept getting up. He beat me so bad that he fainted, and I won the fight.
Wow.
And I couldn't give up because I'd made too many excuses prior to that fight with Muhammad Ali. I had to keep fighting. And there come a point in everyone's life where you can't find an excuse. There's nothing you can run into when you got to stand and fight. That was it for me. I'll never forget that fight.
Yeah,
he hit me harder than any man has ever before or since.
Ron Lyle, really?
Ron Lyle.
Wow. Now, I know in your book you're saying, and it was the loss to Ali that really got in your head, and you said, if I can ever get up and keep fighting, then I'm just going to keep fighting. And I think we even said at one point, you know, I may die here tonight.
That's what happened in the Lyle fight.
It was a Lyle fight. Okay.
Because of that Ali fight, I said, I'll probably die, but I can, you know, I can handle that, but I will not be able to handle offering excuses again. And yeah, that's what I've told my kids about business. You have to get up in the morning, and you just can't come home, set a table, and feed your children excuses. You must come home with some bacon.
That is well put. You can't feed your family on excuses. I like that.
No.
I like that. That is powerful. Now, George, I know you've done a great job. It's been a great conversation, like all great conversations. You just don't, there's not always enough time. And I know you've done a great job, and I thank you. You've inspired so many of the listeners today. If you could leave the listeners with one idea as they continue each and every day to head in the direction of their own dreams, one idea, George, what would it be?
Forgiveness. I tell my kids, forgiveness is that subtle thread that binds both love and friendship. And to be a good salesperson, a lot of doors are going to be slammed in your face, and you're just going to have to go down to the next door and then make your round again and forgive those person and keep trying to sell. Be sold on forgiveness, and you can sell.
You know, I got to say, I was not expecting that as an answer. And it's just like you say, always, you know, give them the unexpected. You say it in your book. That was a fantastic answer.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, George, again, it's been a great pleasure. Thanks so much for being on board the Profit Express today.
Thank you so much.